Our children and grandchildren are astounded. I have entered, well, very nearly entered, the 21st century. I don't have a smartphone, or a tablet, or an iPhone, or is that the same as a smartphone? I'm not sure. I do have a mobile phone, which sits where it always sits, on top of the fridge, and Margaret assures me it does work when you switch it on. No, the big leap forward came when I joined Facebook. One reason I signed up for Facebook, that it was recommended at this year's General Assembly as a means of outreach to folk who don't get to the kirk. The other reason, much more mundane but maybe important, is that Facebook seems to be the only way I can keep tabs on what the family are doing. And it also highlights the sometimes wondrous and sometimes deeply depressing trivial priorities that people, and not just the young, seem to hold. And what it means, however, is that the real life, all that makes life worth living, has not really changed all that much in 2,000 years from the time of the Gospels. In terms of friendships and relationships, in terms of hopes and desires, life's not that much different from the life lived by the folk of Galilee. For example, the people among the 5,000 that Jesus had just fed, the people were lingering on the far side of Lake Galilee. They couldn't find Jesus, and they worked out that he was heading for Capernaum. And they stood in and although it's not mentioned in this passage, that we can read it in Matthew, that many of the crowd walked round the top of Lake Galilee to Capernaum. It really isn't that far. And the average swimmer and the average Galilean of those times was not a natural sailor, and certainly there were few swimmers. In the bay, there were some boats from Tiberias which had taken shelter from the storm of the previous night, and the braver souls crossed the lake on them. Many folk were surprised to find Jesus in Capernaum ahead of them, and they wanted to know how he'd managed it. But Jesus does not answer their questions. He doesn't have time. He goes straight to the heart of the matter. I tell you the truth. You're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Jesus is chastising them for having an earthbound view of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. They had received the loaves and the fish as food, and not as a gift from God. Here were people who looked only at their immediate surroundings, their needs and their wants, and had no higher vision. Jesus put his command in one sentence. Do not work for food that goes bad. Instead, work for the food that gives eternal life. This is the food that the Son of Man will give you. In Isaiah 55 at verse 2, it says, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? And we find in this passage immediately two different contrasting kinds of hunger. There's a physical hunger, and that's met by eating food produced in this world. And we can never be deaf to the call of Jesus to make sure that all are given this food. Something we're doing this morning too. Jesus sets us an example to follow. Access to a healthy and sustaining diet is a gift from God to all the peoples of the earth. And it's our special privilege to make sure that no one remains hungry. It is a Christian duty to our neighbors near and far. We celebrate the harvest of our talents, our labor, our resources, and share them with others. There is, however, another hunger, a spiritual hunger, a hunger that cannot be satisfied with earthly things, no matter how many points you manage to accumulate on your Tesco club card. There's actually interesting comparisons with the lifestyle of the people in Jesus' time and the lifestyle of the people today. Last year, Margaret and I were on holiday in the eternal city, Rome. And many of the buildings and the monuments and ruins go back to the time of Jesus and even beyond. The many stories of the people then, there was one I saw of a wedding dress, which in today's terms would have cost more than £2 million. Stories of fancy meals which cost tens of thousands of pounds, of mansions and palaces which were built to order. However, what was not always evident was satisfaction, a feeling that there was something more than the passing pleasures of the moment, a spiritual fulfillment. There was a constant search for new thrills and new ventures, not to increase human knowledge, not to extend personal experience, but simply to fill a vacuum in the lives of the people, something to divert them from real life, just bread and circuses. It was Jesus' point that what really caught the imagination of the nation of the people who had followed him from the previous day was physical satisfaction. They had received a miraculous meal, and now they simply wanted more of the same. I said there was two hungers in the passage, but in reality, there are other hungers. Hungers that can only be satisfied in the person of Jesus Christ. There's a hunger for truth, and Jesus alone can meet this hunger. There's a hunger for life, and only Jesus can give life and give it abundantly. There's a hunger for love, and Jesus alone can give love, love that overwhelms all our doubts and our fears. It's Christ alone who can satisfy the eternal longings and the insatiable hunger of the human heart. Verse 26 in John chapter 6. God the Father has put his mark of approval on him. Well, from the earliest days of history, important documents carried a seal. We can see them today in museums. It was a seal, a mark of approval, and this was particularly evident when a covenant or a promise had been agreed. The seal authenticates the document, and the contents are guaranteed. The rabbis had a saying, "The seal of God is truth, ameth." Ameth was the Hebrew word for truth, and it had three parts. The first was from the first letter of the alphabet. The second was from the middle of the alphabet, and the last, you can guess, was from the last letter of the alphabet. And this was to demonstrate that the truth of God is at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end of all things. That's why Jesus can satisfy eternal hunger. He's approved by God. He is God's truth. He brings us God's promise, our covenant with God. To see Jesus is to see God. To obey Jesus is to obey God. To receive Jesus is to receive God. The crowd asked him, "What can we do in order that we do what God wants us to do?" And indeed, this was a question that was put to all rabbis. No, let me rephrase that. That was a subject about which rabbis preached regularly, whether the worshippers in the synagogue wanted to hear it or not. And what made the answer of Jesus so different, so revolutionary, was that Jesus did not begin as the rabbis would have done. They would have given an endless, complicated list of do's and don'ts. Jesus said, "Believe in the one he sent. Believe in the one he sent." That is not what the crowd expected or anticipated at all. They were confused and hesitant. What did Jesus really mean? Jesus said that God's work, the work that he was setting us out for us, was to believe in him whom God had sent. And in that, the one thing that God requires of us all is faith. Faith. Faith means a certain relationship with God. Faith means engaging in a different kind of interaction with God. Faith means that we become trusted friends. We've moved on from that position where God is portrayed as the judge whom we all have to fear. We find God revealed as someone to whom we can turn with all our joys and our sorrows. And we can be sure of a loving reception. And we give God the trust and the submission and the obedience that would arise in this new relationship, this new covenant between us. The whole essence of Christianity is that if it had not been for the life and death of Jesus Christ, we would never have had God revealed to us in that way. Jesus told us of the love which God has for us. Jesus demonstrated to us the care that God feels for us. And it's because of this new style of relationship with God that the old barriers, the old ways, the old fears were all abolished. We've been given new life in Jesus, and we have to live that life. We're no longer governed by an endless set of ancient rules and regulations worked out in a distant, dusty land by rabbis who were frightened to be different. We're called to follow the guidelines that Jesus had set out for us so that we live in the here and now, in the 21st century with all its technology and all its busyness. And we have to use social media. And we also need to make personal contact with others. And we must at all times be an example of Christian living. We must answer to God, and we do answer to God. And in our daily lives, we must reflect what Jesus has told us of God. And briefly, what did he tell us of God? God is love. In our lives, therefore, we must live a life of love and service to others which matches the love and service of God to us. And there must be an understanding and a forgiveness of others in the same way that God understands us and forgives us. Forgives us when we're tempted to live life without him uppermost in our hearts. God is also holiness. And in our lives, we are asked to be pure and clean in our heart and body. And this matches the holiness of God. We must be holy because God is holy. We must be part of the world, but we also must be apart from it so that we can follow where Jesus is leading and not where the world dictates. It's only the pure in heart who may see God. God is also wisdom. In our lives, there must be complete trust and a willing obedience which reflects the wisdom of God. If God is completely and perfectly wise, then there's nothing left for us to do other than to accept completely all his guidance and all that he sends. Love, holiness, wisdom. It's Jesus' teaching that the whole core of the Christian life is a new relationship with God, a relationship which was offered by God, a relationship that was only made possible by the revelation of God we were given through Jesus, a relationship that involves us in a life of service, of purity, of trust. And to enter into such a relationship involves such a life. And that's the work which God wishes us and enables us to perform. Amen.